Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our show. We're talking about extraterrestrials tonight, their presence in this world today. It seems that there are four fundamental questions, according to Marshall Summers, about this presence. Basically, what is happening, why is it happening, what does it mean, and how can we prepare? Stay tuned. We'll talk to Marshall Summers about the answers to these questions. From Marshall's book, The Allies of Humanity. Over 12 years ago, a group of individuals from several different worlds gathered at a discrete location in our solar system near Earth for the purpose of observing the alien intervention that is occurring in our world. From their hidden vantage point, they were able to determine the identity, organization, and intentions of those visiting our world, and they were able to monitor the visitors' activities. This group of observers call themselves the Allies of Humanity. Marshall Summers says he's in contact with the Allies of Humanity. Stay tuned for a very interesting hour. Marshall Summers is with us on the line from Colorado. Marshall, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
If I understand this correctly, you actually have a second book out now. Is that correct?
Yes. There are two volumes of the Allies of Humanity briefings. The second volume came out 2 years ago, and it continues what the briefings began in the first set of discourses.
Let's talk a little bit about you're well known in the community for your Allies of Humanity and the whole thing. Let's tell some listeners, if there are any, that don't know a little bit about you at least, exactly what this is all about.
Okay. Well, regarding myself, I have been a spiritual teacher and a writer on subjects dealing with spirituality and also the spiritual and theological implications of contact. Part of my writings is contained in the two volumes of the Allies of Humanity briefings. Most of my work deals with our core spirituality and teaching the way of knowledge, and we can talk about that if we have time today. The briefings themselves were a series of transmitted discourses that I began to receive in 1997. It was very different than anything that I had encountered before in my work, and frankly, I was rather resistant at first to receive something like this, and unlike receiving a spiritual contact, the Allies' voice sounded like a very, very weak, long-distance telephone connection. It was a very, very faint voice, and I recorded what I was hearing, and that was later transcribed, and once I got over the shock of receiving this kind of communication and what it actually contained, the briefings talked about, I put it into a series of briefings, the first series of briefings, which was recorded between 1997 and 1998. And then the second book, all six briefings were recorded within 24 hours. And there's an interesting story about why that happened in the way that it did.
I'd like to know a little bit more about that when you get a chance.
Well, certainly. Well, apparently, and this is written about in the introduction to the second set of briefings, the Allies, who are a group of extraterrestrial observers who have been observing the presence of other extraterrestrial forces in our world for quite some time. After the publication of the first set of briefings, they became endangered and had to leave the vicinity of our world. There had never been visitors here. They had to leave their hidden place of observation. And so they gave the entire second set of briefings in a great hurry. I remember it kept me up all night. It was given with great urgency, and it was like a parting shot. So where the first set of briefings were given very gradually, the second set were given in a great sense of urgency.
I guess you received these telepathically and then dictated them? Is that?
That's correct, yes. There was no personal encounter. In fact, the Allies are not visitors to our world.
Did it give you an idea where they were?
Well, they just claimed that they are living in our local universe, and they're aware of the intervention, they call it intervention, taking place in our world by other commercial organizations, extraterrestrial organizations, and that we're really in great danger from this intervention, and because we don't know anything about the realities of life in our local universe or how nations interact with one another. We're very, very susceptible to manipulation and deception. So these briefings were given in the form of a report by a group of individuals from several different worlds. They were sent as observers, or you could call them spies, I suppose, to observe what is happening in our world. And their report is given in two sets of these briefings. Now, after the second set of briefings were given, I've only heard from the Allies once, very briefly, so I'm not in regular contact with these people.
On this latter contact?
Through a spiritual channel. Uh-huh. No physical contact, so I can't describe what they look like.
I understand that, but they were in a hurry. They felt threatened, and then you had a contact later. Had things calmed down later?
Just said that we're in a position far from your solar system, and we can no longer observe the intervention that's taking place in your world, but we're alive. I mean, we survived, we escaped, but we can no longer function.
Am I understanding this correctly, Marshall, that in human terms, these are the good guys, and there seems to be other threats?
Well, yes. Apparently, according to the briefing, we live in a world that is greatly valued by others, and that an intervention unlike anything that's ever happened before in terms of extraterrestrial visitation has been occurring since the end of World War II. And the reason that it's occurring now is because we have developed a global system of communications and an infrastructure of commerce that advanced races can interface with in some way, which would not have been true even 100 years ago. So we're dealing with very new kind of phenomenon. I certainly understand that the world's been visited over the millennia, and there's mounting evidence that that's been the case. But according to the briefings, we're dealing with something very new and very risky now. And it's, of course, operating surreptitiously in our world. It's not revealing its intent, its purpose, or its activities, and yet it is a global phenomenon. Certainly, if we can take the step beyond recognizing that there is an extraterrestrial presence in the world, which is a first step that many people have not yet taken, but I'm sure many of your listeners are well acquainted with that, then we have to look at three other important questions, and those questions are, why is this happening, what does it mean, and how do we prepare? And I think the Allies' briefings really deal with these next three questions, particularly question number four, how do we prepare? Because we are, if we think of it as the native peoples of a world that knows nothing about the outside world, in this case the universe around us, we're very vulnerable. We have our ideas and our beliefs and our superstitions and our expectations, but we've had no real experience to know how to establish our own rules of engagement with any group or nation that might visit us.
So I'm trying to get the overall gist of this. Basically, this group that contacted you telepathically more than once, you have two books about it, they're warning us what? Not to be, have lack of a better term, naive?
Well, they want to educate us about some of the realities regarding intelligent life in our galactic neighborhood. They want us to understand the nature of the intervention that's happening in the world today, why it's happening, who's conducting it, and what their activities are. And something that would be very difficult for us to comprehend, being still stuck in the world as we are. And the nature of this intervention is such that it's very deceptive and requires human acquiescence and cooperation in order to function here. So the whole situation is very clouded by the fact that we're dealing with a deceptive force who's acting surreptitiously. And so the Allies apparently have given us a set of, in these two sets of briefings.
Now I looked at your book a little bit. The collectives, I think, is... You think that they don't value human life, you were told that?
Well, in the briefings, those visiting represent economic what they call collectives. And how they define a collective is a hierarchical, multiracial organization that's basically here in search of resources and seeking worlds that are of strategic value. I think the closest analogy we could come to in trying to comprehend what a collective is in the way that the briefings describe it is a multinational corporation, which has people from many different nations working for it and has an immense spread around our world. Apparently, in the universe around us, such organizations exist, but on a far more complex scale, and are considered by many, at least peace-loving worlds, to be very predatory and opportunistic. And so the briefings are giving us a kind of heads up about an opportunity to look at the extraterrestrial presence in our world today from this perspective. And one of the points that they make, which I think is very important, is that these groups who are visiting, who are interfering in human affairs, who actually have contact with human beings and have some kind of presence in our world, are not military forces. They're commercial forces. And they're here to do business, and we're part of the business. We're part of the resource. They don't value human freedom. To them, we're a resource. In fact, the Allies describe the way that we're perceived by these groups as being like intelligent cattle, I think is the word that they use. And that's not very reassuring for us down here on the ground, but it is a very important thing to know how those who are intervening in our world perceive us, and why gives us some insight into how they function here and why they do what they do.
So what are the assets they're after?
They're after primarily biological resources.
In other words, you're the one that brought up the term cattle.
We are part of the resources. They're interested in fundamental biological agents, chlorophyll, soil nutrition, anything that can grow food, anything that can propagate life, all the essential elements of life. But as far as we're concerned, and this is revealed in the second set of briefings in a very kind of ominous chapter entitled What Do They Want, we're part of that resource too. And so the taking of human beings, human abduction phenomenon that we're learning more and more about all the time, isn't just to do genetic experiments on people. That's something I hope we can talk about today. But it's also to use us as a resource, because universe that we live in.
Are you saying using us as a resource, for lack of a better explanation, they actually have us for lunch?
No, we're not being used as food. What's valued is what our bodies contain: blood, plasma, reproductive agents, things like this, and that's what they're
What is the blood? The blood angle.
Blood is one of the basic building blocks of biological life. And when you think about the animal mutilation phenomenon, for example, I mean, what's being taken from these animals is blood, primarily, and also reproductive organs and certain other organs that are very specific. But always, what's being taken is blood.
So the visitors, these visitors, the people that are using our assets, they have a hybrid program that involves us for what? I mean, what are they going to be using us for?
Well, the hybridization, or what Bud Hopkins termed the transgenic being project, which is interesting how he's presenting that these days, really it's to develop a human a presence here in the world that, through a human medium, because the extraterrestrials cannot live here. Some of them can't breathe our atmosphere, but there's another important reason why they can't live here. If you consider someone who lives in space or spends a great deal of time on board spacecraft in sterile environments, then regardless of what advancement of their medical capabilities, they cannot face the world biological matrix, such as presented in our world. And the briefings talk about the inability of these visitors to survive for any length of time, certainly unprotected in our environment, and that's why they need a human medium, a hybrid person who is united and bonded to the intervention, but who can function here unnoticeably as a human being.
In other words, we're contaminated.
We're being contaminated.
And they're afraid we're going to contaminate them if they show up without the hybrid.
Well, the world would contaminate them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, that's right. I mean, if you think of, you and I probably couldn't go live in certain parts of the world like the deep African interior because of the biological agents there. Well, they can't live in the world because of the countless biological agents here. And so they need a human representative. And it's interesting that, and I get asked this a great deal about the hybridization program, and what I can share from the briefings, which I think is illuminating in its own right, is that the individuals that are being cultivated, and there are several different levels, I think, of cultivation, but ultimately they want individuals who can serve in positions of counsel to world, business, and religious leaders. People often ask, well, is George Bush an extraterrestrial? And I say, I don't think so, but who is George Bush or any other world leader listening to? And if you have an individual who has immense clairvoyance, immense perception, can understand the political environment, is immensely persuasive, and demonstrates some kind of phenomenal abilities, well, those individuals get recruited by governments and government agencies and other religious authorities who need their prescience. So this is where the hybrid individual, the transgenic being, could, without any kind of public awareness or public recognition, have an immense influence on the nature of human behavior and the behavior of governments.
So they're unknowing in the reality of it all, but they're actually fulfilling the alien mission. Is that?
Well, I think the people who are just, because they've been abducted or they're just sort of in love with the idea of having an extraterrestrial in the world, those people will propagate or promote intervention simply because they want to or they've been told that they have to. But when we talk about the transgenic being, this is an engineered creature. Transgenic means they have genetic material from more than two or more entirely different species. This is an individual that is engineered for a purpose.
We've got to take a break, Marshall. When we come back, I want to talk about that in detail.
Very good.
The name of the books are Allies of Humanity, Part 1 and 2, or Book 1 and Book 2, and we have a link where you can go get this, the books, and read it. How big are these books?
Well, they're very readable. I mean, you can read all six briefings in one of the book in a couple of hours, but they're incredibly rich, so it does take time to really comprehend what they're saying. I think every paragraph has got a message in it. It's very rich.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime. Anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com. We're talking about the Allies briefings, and we're talking with Marshall Summers on the line from Boulder, Colorado. Marshall, before we get to the transgenic beings again and how they were engineered specifically, have you thought about why you were contacted?
Well, I've been in the process of receiving a large body of work that has to do in large part with our future in space are what's termed the greater community, of intelligent life. And apparently, in the 25 years I've received these volumes, and over 20 volumes, seven of which are now in international distribution, the volumes Greater Community Spirituality, Wisdom from the Greater Community, Steps to Knowledge, all deal with, in part, preparation for humanity's future within this greater community, as well as the kind of great ways of change we're going to have to deal with our own world. The great ways of change, in this case, being environmental decline, resource depletion, global warming, all the immense problems that these converging phenomena will likely create for the human family. And so I have been receiving this large body of work, and it comes from a spiritual and divine source, whereas the Allies briefings comes from an extraterrestrial, a physical source. But I think what the Allies briefings are doing is giving us a missing piece of the picture, because even if we have a very high spiritual contact, there are certain kinds of visceral realities in our local universe that we need to know about. And if you can learn that from someone who's living there, it can be very valuable. That's why when people ask, well, how can I believe these Allies of Humanity briefings are true or real? And I say, well, you can't really prove or disprove their source, but if you read them and you resonate with just the core wisdom of what they're talking about, then, and you see the compassion with which these things are being communicated, the respect that's being given to us as a hopefully free people in the universe, or potentially free people in the universe. And the intention, I think, with the briefings is to have more free nations in their environment, because apparently our local environment is very well inhabited. And, you know, there's many dangerous forces. I mean, we're like a child in the big city, you might say.
So in other words, this particular group, conglomeration of people interested in corporate, use of our assets as a world and as a humanity, they really kind of relying on us to acquiesce, aren't they?
Well, the intervention certainly is. It's not a military force. It's a relatively small expeditionary force of different races of beings working in concert with each other. I mean, how can you take control of a world without inciting revolution, without damaging the precious biological resources, or damaging the property, you might say? Well, what that does require, then, is a kind of long-range genetic program. And there are four, the briefings describe that there are four different activities of the intervention. If you'd like, we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'd like to know about that.
These are all interrelated. The first is engaging individuals in positions of power. And this is not only engagement through perhaps direct contact, and I have no doubt there has been some direct contact, but also through the agents of your transgenic being, who, given their skills and insight, could probably gain the ear of some very powerful people. That's one aspect. Another aspect is affecting our religious beliefs and impulses. And if you look at the history of religious thought in the last 60 years, particularly in the West, in affluent countries, you'll see that there's an important phenomenon of pacification going on, where now you have young people going around and thinking that whatever happens to them is the right thing to happen, and we should trust whatever life puts in front of us, and things like this that never existed before. I mean, it's just, it runs counter to our innate sense, common sense, and our natural instincts. So we've been sort of dumbed down by many different forces, but we're very unsuspecting. And when you look at how people respond to the realization that there is an extraterrestrial presence in the world, you'll see that for many people there's a tremendous lack of critical discernment. I mean, it's just a desire to believe or desire to accept. That's our own human nature, okay? And I think our human nature is really being taken advantage of and exploited for the benefit of those who are visiting in our world, who are acting here without our permission. We have not established the rules of engagement, and we're sort of the witless observers of an immense array of activities that are happening to our world. So the first is influencing individuals in positions of power, primarily in government, religion, and business. Not all individuals, but certainly some individuals. Affecting religious beliefs and impulses. Establishing a physical presence. And I know there's been a lot of research done on alien bases and, you know, where are all these ships landing? We see them flying around all over the world, but where are they landing? I mean, they're not world, and the briefings do talk about that. And of course, the fourth, which is the most, probably the darkest aspect of the whole thing, is the abduction and genetic engineering for a new leadership for humanity. And that's the part, I think, that is really hard for people to deal with psychologically, and certainly for people who've had abduction experiences, it can be a very painful, traumatic subject. I think, though, that it really, this fourth aspect of abduction and genetic splicing and all this, is, really should dismiss any notion we have that these visitors are here for our benefit.
How long has this program been going on, you think?
Well, the abduction program is probably, its initial research has probably started some time ago, but certainly it's come into earnest with the development of nuclear weapons and with a global infrastructure. I think that in the second briefing, set of briefings, the Allies mentioned that the intervention has to happen now because we have this infrastructure, and also it has to take place before we gain too much technological power. If we become so powerful that we can be a serious deterrent to an intervention of this kind, then intervention would have to be attempted under entirely different circumstances.
Does, well, maybe let me rephrase this a different way, Marshall. Do you get a hint that there is a military presence with these people as well, and they're just not using it?
No, according to the briefings, they make a big point out of this, that these are not military forces. They are commercial forces. And now, certainly they have a security function within them. I'm not saying that they can't defend themselves, but they're not here threatening us militarily. And this is a very important point, because many people dismiss the notion that the extraterrestrials have a maligning intention by saying, well, if they wanted to destroy us, they would have destroyed us, and since they haven't destroyed us, they must be here for beneficial purposes. But that's a very naive and limited way of looking at this. I mean, when you look at in our own world, in our human encounters, I mean, the conquistadors of today carry briefcases and cell phones. Mm-hmm. Peoples are overtaken as much as possible without the use of direct force. I mean, force is a last resort, perhaps. And when you think...
Yeah, you hear the term about we took the place without firing a shot.
Exactly. And so... an intelligent race is not going to use force, and it's interesting that the briefings indicate that in this part of our galaxy, at least, I mean, war is actually very rare, outright war, as we know it. But we still are rather primitive, I think, and still think in terms of conquest by use of force, but that is not how this intervention is proceeding, nor is it really equipped to use those kinds of...
Well, the question arises, at least with me, Marshall, is what were these people that had to get all of this information to you, these entities, in the 24 hours, so because they had to get the heck out of there, what were they fearing? Were they fearing takeover militarily or being captured?
Retribution from the intervention.
I mean, what kind of retribution would they be?
If a nation in this world found out that you had gained all of its secrets and you publicly came out with them, I mean, your life would be imperiled. And so I think the intervention has been exposed, particularly beginning with the first set of the Allies of Humanity briefings. And
so basically the people that gave you the Allies of Humanity, as you refer to them, do you think they're a minority?
Well, they're a very small, they're a group of just a few individuals who are acting as observers, but they're representing their own worlds, which seek to remain anonymous in this whole affair. So in that case, they're acting...
In other words, you're saying this is more like a galactic counterintelligence operation.
In this case, the briefings say, you know, this is a set of free nations, one not wanting to see us become dominated by commercial forces, become a client state.
So how do we stop it?
Okay, there are basically seven things that the Allies talk about, and that my work in Greater Community Spirituality talks about. Because this is, of course, an important. This is where we're left. I mean, if we can entertain this reality, we have to look at what we can begin to do today. And I think ultimately, what this would require of humanity is quite immense, and would require the talents and expertise of many people. But as a starting point, we have to gain awareness and education. We have to understand what we're dealing with in the most simple and prosaic manner. I've been talking in my presentations recently on the subject that we need to consider that we're the native peoples of this world fundamentally. And we're dealing with first encounters, and history and nature, has taught us that first encounters were always to the detriment of the natives. And there are certain basic reasons why this is the case. And one of them is the natives did not understand the nature and intentions of those who were intervening in their world or in their land. There's been a very interesting document that's been created called the Declaration of Human Sovereignty, and it can be viewed at www.humansovereignty.org. And it's a beginning statement, a working document based upon the Declaration of Independence of the United States to establish our own rules of engagement, what we as the peoples of this world will and will not allow in terms of visitation to our world. It's a beginning document, but I think we have to build some kind of awareness, because many of the people that I have spoken to and have come to ask me questions, my presentations and media interviews and so forth, I've had to take an about face in the face of the Allies briefings in terms of the way that they're considering who these extraterrestrials are and why they're here. Many people are in sort of a romantic phase with the whole idea of contact, thinking that this is going to be of immense benefit to humanity, and we're going to be given advanced technology and shown how to live in peace, and these are spiritual beings and so forth. And there's really nothing, there's really so little evidence to support that. And I think if you look at the history of intervention, you have to say, well, we have to deal with this extremely cautiously. And an extraterrestrial presence would have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt their intentions are beneficial for us. And certainly that has not been the case. That is not how they're behaving in our world today. So the first point is awareness and education. And that's what we're doing right now. And that's, I think, why the...
So in other words, that really is your mission.
That is part of my mission.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the rest of the mission when we come right back. We're talking with Marshall Summers. And, of course, The Allies of Humanity, Book 1 and Book 2. We'll be back.
Major sighting here.
On the 13th of March, weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix recently. And no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
And now, suddenly six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
A series of strange bright lights seen over the skies of Arizona gets a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing new.
Winning documentary by Dr. Lynn Kitar. The Phoenix Lights is now available from shopjerrypippin.com. Order now. Supplies limited. Marshall Summers is on the line with us from Colorado. Marshall, we went to the break. You were laying out seven principles or things we need to be doing. And we talked about number one, and you said that was just part of the picture.
Well, the first one is certainly we have to gain awareness and education about what we're dealing with, and we have to deal with this in the most prosaic, common sense manner we can. We can't come to this just as scientists or theologians. We have to deal with this as the native peoples, observing first encounter with a determined set of individuals or sets of groups, because there is more than one group in the world today. The second thing that needs to happen that I'm involved is learning about the greater community in which we live. The greater community means this larger environment that is full of intelligent life. I mean, what is life like? And how do beings and nations interact with each other beyond our borders? And certainly, we're all still stuck here on the ground, so we don't get to go out into space and have these firsthand experiences. So I think the Allies briefings gives us a window into the nature of reality with intelligent life in our local universe, and the relations between, and relations and strengths and restraints that exist between advanced races that travel in space. The third thing that we need to look at and really promote is promoting human freedom and sovereignty in this world. I mean, we are in a position where we could lose those two things by a very small, dedicated group. And people are often amazed when they hear that, but when you read the history of intervention, for instance, colonial periods, I mean, large numbers of people were overtaken by extremely small groups of intervening nations. And they largely capitulated because of their ignorance and because they couldn't recognize the reality of the contact they were experiencing. And in that sense, our world could be overtaken without firing a shot.
We're going to follow that up after you finish the ticking these things off, because that leads me to the question I still have about the transgenic beings. It seems to me they probably themselves are not aware that they're fulfilling the program.
Well, like people who work for large corporations, I mean, that knowledge is all compartmentalized, probably. And if we use large corporations as a model or some kind of reference point, we can see that people are doing all kinds of things without really understanding.
The total picture, right. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, that is fine. So we have protecting human freedom and sovereignty, and then we have to exploit the intervention's weaknesses. And interesting that this is a piece of the pie that I think we just couldn't get unless we had some kind of outside source telling us, is what is the weakness of this intervention? Why? What restrains it? What endangers it? And it's interesting that because the intervention is relying upon human acquiescence and cooperation, the thing that endangers it is human protest. And this is the interesting thing that the briefings present, which was very new to me, was that outright conquest is not allowed in our galactic neighborhood.
Really?
It's not allowed. You can't just march in and just take a world by force. The only way that you can gain presence and ascendancy in another world is by at least the appearance of that world agreeing to your presence. In other words, you make it look like you're welcome where you are, and then enough people are applauding your presence, then basically you can get around this fundamental rule, and this rule is established in terms of trade, because to have a peaceful trading environment, you can't have nations going and blowing each other up.
So basically you're saying the capitalist system is intergalactic.
Well, in this sense, it's just for practical purposes. Uh-huh. For instance, today, you know, our country, the United States, or any country, can't just go and just invade another country and take it over without immense consequences, as we're finding out
sure.
in Iraq. You just can't do that. That creates a lot of negative feedback.
So in other words, this rule probably was not developed because of spiritualism or moral values, but just a straightforward commercial aspect. It's not the best way to do things.
I mean, you just have to have rules of participating if you're going to do business in this neighborhood that we live in. And apparently we live in a really well-inhabited neighborhood.
So in other words, you know, to have your way with someone, you have to court them a little bit.
You have to court them, and you have to create a point of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, certainly most people in the world today, are not walking around today thinking about extraterrestrials. But for those with whom you have contact, the persuasion that's brought to bear on these people and the exploitation of their expectations is just immense. And so the way you counteract that is by bringing in a very prosaic and very sort of natural approach to dealing with first encounters, which must be extremely cautionary and must really call upon our own innate wisdom. And one of the examples that I give often is, I mean, most people would not want someone prowling around their house at night whose identity was unknown, somebody who had gained entry into their personal domain and were wandering around doing things that were unexplained. And I think that kind of rule of the home is the kind of ethic we need to bring to our entire planet by the peoples of this world, in such that it's demanded and communicated out into space as to whoever is watching us or listening to us and whoever else is watching the intervention taking place, that we will not be fooled with. We will not be treated in this way. And that is something that any sovereign people have to do, is to establish their rights and boundaries, which is not something we have done in our world regarding extraterrestrial contact.
Marshall, thanks for an intriguing hour, for sure. It was indeed a pleasure talking with you. I think it's best to close, folks, with a passage from Marshall Summers' book, Allies of Humanity. Visitors will try and create the impression that they are the allies of humanity. They They will say they are here to save humanity from itself, that only they can offer the great hope that humanity cannot provide for itself, that only they can establish true order and harmony in the world. But this order and this harmony will be theirs, not yours. And the freedom that they promise will not be yours to enjoy. Allies of Humanity in 2 volumes available. Once again, thanks Marshall Summers for being a great guest. Jane Swartley was our producer and production editor. The executive producer of this series, of course, is Larry Decker. Until next time, this is Jerry Pepin. Thanks for listening. Cheers.